You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're in our spring member drive right now, and your gift right now supports the morning show, supports all the other WPR programs you rely on today and every day. So join in with your gift now at 888-202-2552 or WPR.org. And thank you so much for your support. Right now, we're eager to get gardening before spring flies by. We're getting tips this hour on how to do it safely during this pandemic and on a budget. Under Governor Evers' Safer at Home order, our agricultural and hardware businesses are essential. So a number of garden centers and nurseries, farm supply stores remain open. Have you started seeds indoors? What's sprouting now? What questions do you have about putting in your spring garden? We're at 800-642-1234 throughout the hour. Lisa Johnson is Dane County Extension horticulture educator. She also facilitates the Master Gardener program in the county. Lisa, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
So with the stay-at-home order in place, how are you coping during this pandemic? What is it like for you?
Well, you know, actually for me, it's not a lot different other than I'm not teaching classes physically. I'm doing it online, but I'm still taking the same calls through my, office phone, even though I'm working at home, and I am also answering emails and then again teaching classes online. I've actually started doing some on a statewide basis, so that's been kind of fun.
What are some of the questions that are flowing into you?
I'm getting questions about lawn care. I'm getting questions about, like, how to take care of your raspberries, questions about tree care. It kind of runs the gamut.
You know, my raspberries, I tried to cut them back and just make them lesser in an area, in a patch of our garden, but they keep coming back. Do you have any tricks to kind of keeping them at bay? I mean, I like them, they just not so much of them.
Yeah, raspberries can be pretty aggressive. They do have a pretty robust underground rhizome system. If you want to keep them out of an area, really about the only thing that you can do is dig them out other than spraying them.
Oh, okay. So you really...
Sorry to tell you that.
All right. I was thinking that, you know, if I or dig them out, that will be the next step. Is it too late to prune right now?
Well, as long as you aren't starting to see growth yet, no, you should be fine on the raspberries. Now, on some other woody species like oaks, yes, it is too late at this point to be pruning.
So what are you currently growing in your garden? What's coming up?
I have some Wisconsin wildflowers coming up right now. One of them is called Bloodroot, and it's kind of it's in the poppy family. It's an interesting one. It was used for dye by Native Americans, and it has a little white flower that comes up through the leaf rolls around the stem. So the flower comes up first, and then the leaves open. I'm also seeing my Virginia bluebells are coming up, and the trillium is just starting to poke up.
I was on a walk last night, and the bluebells are adorable. They're everywhere. They're just gorgeous.
Yeah, there are a lot of blue flowering bulbs as well. We have Scilla Siberica that's coming up, and My Glory of the Snow is also in full flower, and the crocus are.
I saw crocuses.
Up as well.
Yeah, crocuses are coming up too. So you're definitely seeing some hints of spring. What do you recommend as we start prepping our garden, getting out there as the temperatures warm up? What should be our first steps?
Well, you want to make sure in your perennial gardens to get the leaves out of the way and any old foliage and stems that were left up from last year. There are things like slugs that like to hang out in the old foliage from last year, so definitely a good idea to get that out of there.
We're talking with Lisa Johnson, Dane County Extension horticulture educator, joining in with your questions as well. Have you been taking more walks lately? What are some native plants you see that are coming up right now? Are you someone who started growing seeds indoors? What is sprouting for you? What questions do you have about starting seeds? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So, Lisa, this time of year is often when the plant sales take place all over. And I understand the Master Gardener program canceled its upcoming sale, which was scheduled for next month. How is that impacting your organization?
Well, that's a tough one. We do rely on our plant sale to help us fund our teaching garden. And this year we have a greenhouse going in, so this is a particularly bad time for this to happen. And I know, you know, a lot of garden clubs and so on also are going to have issues because they don't have that fundraiser.
Yeah, so what is going in this greenhouse?
Well, the greenhouse is going to support the Master Gardener program by allowing us to better be able to give hands-on experience to Master Gardeners about how to start seeds inside, for example. It will also be used to grow plants for our plant sales in the future.
Is this greenhouse in Dane County?
Yes, it's going to be at the Dane County Extension Office, and we were very fortunate to get some funding from the Madison Community Foundation and also from the Dane County Executive's Office a couple years ago to support the building of that. I think it'll be great. We'll also be growing some seedlings that are provided then to community gardens or school gardens.
I understand that online courses, online sessions are really popular right now. What is going on there?
Yeah, so for the Master Gardener program, we moved our class online. But I am also working on, last week I did a statewide series on seed starting, or not a series, but a single session, and we're also repeating that this Tuesday. So we'll see. I may end up repeating it some more. It's been pretty well received, and it's neat to hear from folks all over the state. I've been very fortunate to have colleagues, too, from all over the state participating and helping out, because obviously, you know, they've got snow up north yet, so that's quite different than what's going on down here. And it's nice to have my colleagues talk about what the procedures are for what the timing is for starting seeds up north.
Timing is different up north by how
much?
Yeah.
by weeks in some cases. Yeah. So down here, we started our tomato and pepper seedlings usually between the middle to end of March. You could still start them right now, but up north, you wouldn't want to be starting them for several weeks yet, because you can't plant them outside at the same time as down here, and they'd get pretty big and lanky if you started them that early.
Lisa Johnson, she's with us. She facilitates the Master Gardener program in Dane County. She's also a horticulture educator with Dane County. We're in the garden with her taking your spring planting questions. Have you decided to put in your very first garden? Where's your plot? What do you want to grow? What are you running into? Let's figure it out at 800-642-1234. Email your questions to ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back in a minute with Lisa Johnson right here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about spring gardening here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. So I came across this headline in Modern Farmer last week. Vegetable seeds are the new toilet paper. Seed sellers across North America have been overwhelmed by skyrocketing demand in recent weeks as home gardeners are preparing to grow their own vegetables in the face of the pandemic. Are your online seed purchases backordered? Do you work at a garden center or a store that sells plants and supplies? How are you managing COVID-19 and keeping up with orders? Be part of this, 800-642-1234. Lisa Johnson works as a horticulture educator for Dane County Extension, and she stays with us. So, Lisa, community gardens and food markets and greenhouses are considered essential businesses. What are the rules surrounding these businesses in order to stay open?
Yes, well, the farmers markets are employing a bunch of different techniques. Some of them are doing drive-up sales. Others are making sure that people are spaced out in the market. The idea this year is they're not going to have a lot of the things that they might usually have at markets that encourage people to walk around and stay. They're also going to have policies where only the vendor can handle the produce, and they may have sawhorses in front of the booths so that people are not encouraged to get too close to the vendors. They have separate people taking care of the money, and hand washing stations. Of course, people are supposed to be wearing masks outside, so hopefully they will be doing that. So a bunch of different things.
How do you see garden centers right now approaching this, especially because people like to pick out their own plants?
Yeah, that's a tough one. Some garden centers are doing curbside pickup where you can order online and then pick up your plants at a predetermined time. Others are not open. Some have plans to be open but limited hours and making sure that people are spaced out. So it's really going to be different depending on what county you're in and the particular businesses.
We have an email here from Donna who asks, what suggestions do you have for how to operate community gardens in light of COVID-19 this spring?
You know, if you go to the Dane Gardens Network website, we have some suggestions, guidelines that are at that area. We're suggesting that, of course, social distancing be practiced. People should be wearing masks. We're suggesting that people bring their own tools instead of sharing tools. And we're talking about making sure that there are hand washing stations. You do have to obviously worry about things like when there are hoses that are shared. So we're trying to do everything that we can to encourage people to still be able to do food gardening off. Obviously, that's an important function of community gardens, but we want to make sure that people are safe.
I'd imagine also scheduling people out and having like a master schedule to know who is in the garden when, so people aren't going all at the same prime time.
Yeah, that's going to be difficult, I'm sure, in many community gardens. Some are smaller than others, so not a big deal. But I think we'll also be relying on people to follow those guidelines. I know in Dane County Gardens, they're planning on having a lot of signage in not only English, but also in Hmong and Spanish, telling folks what the guidelines are for this year.
And we have a link, by the way, for the Gardens Network at WPR.org/mornings. Talking with Lisa Johnson, who oversees the Master Gardener Program in Dane County, which offers training for horticulture-related projects. You can join in with your questions about your garden. Is there a community garden where you live? Has the pandemic interrupted growing at all? Maybe you're taking extra safety precautions. What tips can you share? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. So Lisa, right now we're seeing such a spike in seed sales. Are there concerns coming from gardeners of a possible seed shortage?
What I've been hearing is that most companies are keeping up. However, some are taking measures. There's one company that I know of that is going to be actually not taking orders for a few days so that they can get their setup more in line. You know, a lot of companies are running on a skeleton crew, and so when you have such a spike in demand, trying to make sure that your product gets out in a timely fashion is certainly something to be concerned about.
Yeah, we talked with the AP Whaley Seed Company, which is a wholesale company out of Mount Horeb, and they said it's busier than usual right now. And the most popular item being sold is dry bean seeds. When should these be planted?
Well, it depends on where you are in the state. In the Madison area, usually you're going to be planting those last week of May or first week of June. We do seem to be a little bit warmer this year than the past couple of springs, although considering the weather today, maybe that's being overly optimistic at this point. So I think we'll probably be more or less on time this year, but, you know, up north you're going to be doing that quite a few weeks later than down in this part of the state.
Okay, some other seeds really popular right now, tomatoes, cucumbers, green beans. What seeds should gardeners be looking to buy right now?
Well, anything at this point is still fair game. A lot of things don't get planted until the ground is frozen, which in, you know, or unfrozen.
Mm-hmm.
In some part of the state, they obviously still have snow. Down here in the southern part of the state, though, usually around the 15th of April, people are probably going to be starting planting seeds of things like peas, potato tubers, the seed potatoes can go in the ground, onion sets can go in. One thing you do want to make sure of is that your ground temperatures are warm enough. You really don't want to rush that. I do at my office, I have a handout that gives a and it was put together by a master gardener, Marilyn Salee, and it has the minimum, optimal, and maximum temperatures for soils. A lot of people run the risk of putting seeds in too early, and then the seed just kind of rots if the soil is too cold. So we're starting our tomato and pepper seeds inside around this time of year, again, between the middle of March to beginning of April. Getting just a little late right now, but you can still get those started.
How do you assess your ground temperature?
Well, there are soil thermometers that you can get. And they're not too expensive, but a lot of garden centers carry them. Obviously, you can buy them online as well. They're usually around between $10, $12, and it's a really handy thing to have. Also, people can start warming up the ground by putting down black plastic, starting your seeds, or if you have raised beds, those will also warm up faster than the ground.
Do you stick those thermometers in different areas of your plot?
Yeah, and if you're growing seeds at home, the north side of your property may be quite a bit colder than the south side.
Yeah.
In our teaching garden out at the Dane County Extension Office, I remember one year I did a little experiment where I did that, and the south side was 55 degrees, whereas the north side was still in the high 30s. So it was quite a bit of difference because you get so much more shade, depending on where you are, of course, on the north side.
So if we started our tomatoes and peppers indoors, when is the right time? Like, you know, you don't want to get them too big. When do you transfer them to outdoors? When do you transplant them?
Well, that's going to depend on when your last frost date is.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to the NOAA website, they do have a last frost date map that gives you an idea from where you are in the U.S. where or when your last frost date is. Now, just because that's your last frost date, that does not mean that that's time to plant outside, but it's at least a good guide. I would still be planting a week to 2 weeks after that because it's still a 50% chance of frost on that date. Ours in the Madison area is between the 15th and 30th of April. We usually recommend people put out tomatoes between the 15th and the 20th in my area.
Lisa Johnson, our guide for gardening. She's a horticulture educator in Dane County. What questions do you have about your garden? 800-642-1234. We'll get back to our conversation with Master Gardener Lisa Johnson right after this news update on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We are in our spring member drive, and WPR makes a difference in your day. It keeps you connected with news and culture from nearby and far away. So members make up the biggest share of WPR's funding. You're the backbone. Make a gift today for the programs you count on for yourself and for the entire community. Give at 888-202-2552 or WPR.org. And thank you so much for your support. Right now, we're in the garden getting tips on preparing the spring plantings. Gardeners and emerging green thumbs, or those of us not as well-versed in the world of gardening, we're feeling cooped up, and grow-it-yourself food is suddenly the it thing. Nurseries around the country report selling out of vegetables. What vegetables are you putting in this spring? Do you know when to plant them? What questions do you have about preparing your garden? Bring on the questions, your tips. Lines are open, 800-642-1234. Lisa Johnson focuses on garden-based education in Dane County, and she stays with us. So, Lisa, with the pandemic, so many people are out of work or they're furloughed. What are some ways that we can save money when putting in our spring garden this season?
Sure. I do need to make a clarification from earlier. I said that tomatoes and peppers should go in the 15th and 20th. In my area, that's the 15th and 20th of May.
May. I think we knew what you meant.
yeah. Okay. Just wanted to make sure there. So there are a lot of things that you can do. Seeds are a great inexpensive way to produce a lot of plants, and you don't need to necessarily have a very fancy setup. Even if you're in an apartment, you can often grow plants on your balcony. If you don't have full sun, you can grow things like greens, the lettuces, spinach, kale. Any of those will take a little bit less light. Obviously, vegetables do like their sun. A minimum of 6 hours is recommended, but you can get away with a little bit less with the greens.
Well, let's bring in Stephen now, joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, good morning. I'm glad you guys brought this up. This year is the first year I planted tomatoes and peppers. My tomatoes, I never tried them, and I had really good success in seeds coming up. Now I have too many little plants per little 2-inch pot.
You're just too good.
Tall right now. What's the best way to divide them and make sure that I get more plants that are viable instead of having them all bunched up?
Yeah. So usually when you say you're planting in or you have 2.5-inch pots?
Yeah, there's the little those cardboard pots that are biodegradable.
Okay.
That's
gotcha.
That's harder than.
Yeah. Usually for something like that, I would start no more than 2 seedlings. Tomatoes are, as you've noticed, really, really reliable. They come up really well. So when you're trying to divide them, if you've got too many in the pot, I would carefully turn the pot on its side and just, you know, very, very gently try and tease those roots apart. You can use something like a pencil or a plastic knife. And I know in the greenhouse, I have a part-time job during the spring. We do actually separate tomato seedlings all the time. And so they are more resilient than you might think, but be very careful about how you handle them. You want to handle them gently by the base of the stem when you're pulling them apart.
So you do a little bit of surgery there with either like a plastic knife or a pencil tip will do?
Yeah. And you just gently separate the root systems and then replant them at the same height. For a like a 3.5-inch pot or a 2.5-inch pot, just one plant for that size would be ideal.
Stephen, thank you so much for the call. Lisa, are there any everyday household items that we might have around our yard or our house that could be used in the garden so we don't have to go out and buy something else? Are there good like hacks that you would recommend?
Oh, absolutely. You can actually make your own pots. There are a number of internet sites that you can do that with newspaper. You can actually cut up cardboard rolls from paper towels or toilet paper and put a piece of newspaper, kind of drape it on the inside so that you have a bottom that's made out of the newspaper. You can use egg cartons. One of the things that's really important is that any hacks that you do, any containers that you do, you need to poke holes in the bottom so that you have good drainage. You can also use like yogurt containers or any of the little plastic containers. You can use water bottles, actually, to make a little faux greenhouse. You cut them in two, and then you put the top back on. So lots of different things that you can do.
So when we're headed out to a nursery, do you find that this spring that the offerings at nurseries and greenhouses and garden centers are typical from previous years, or might there be some things that are missing as, you know, we go to grocery stores and some things are there and some things aren't?
Yeah, it's a little bit hard to tell yet at this point, but you know, the garden centers, they're having to balance staff who are having to take care of those plants. And again, many times they're working a skeleton crew, you know, to take care of those plants. So they may not have as many. Again, some garden centers are going to be doing curbside pickup. So it may be a little bit different, but our garden centers are, they're very creative folks, and I know they will be doing their best to meet the demand.
We're talking with Lisa Johnson, who facilitates the Master Gardener Program in Dane County, offering training in horticulture projects and to benefit the local community. You can join in with your gardening spring garden questions, 800-642-1234. Have you bought seeds online? What did you purchase? Have you started them indoors? Do you compost? Have you found it to be successful? What advice can you share to others who are wanting to give it a try? Join in with your questions, your tips, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So, Lisa, you know, insects are still going to be problematic, whether it's pandemic or not. Are there going? You know, what are some of the most common ones that we run into this time of year?
The ticks are actually out. Our entomologist, P.J. Leash, will be doing a statewide talk in the next, I think maybe this week, although maybe it's the next week, talking about the different types of ticks that are out in wooded settings. We also have mosquitoes that are out in certain areas of the state already. And I know, you know, up north there's always, of course, black flies.
Mm. And I understand jumping worms have hatched earlier this year.
Yeah. jumping worms are an invasive species that have been plaguing our gardens in, gosh, they're in over, I think, 25 counties that we've found them in so far in the state. And they have a really deleterious effect on our soils. I unfortunately have them in my garden at home, and they're about an inch long already. Usually I don't see them too much until around the 1st of May, but this year they're out there.
What type of damage do they do? I understand that they really destroy the structure of soil. What's going on there?
Yeah, unlike the European earthworms that we have, which also can be deleterious in forested situations, those earthworms will produce their castings in a little pile, and they pretty much leave the structure of the soil untouched. But the way that jumping worms feed is that they turn the soil, oh gosh, down at least 3 inches, into these little hard pellets, which releases a lot of the nutrition of the soil in one big burst. And things like nitrogen that are very mobile in soil then don't stay around very well and instead percolate into the soil profile so that you have less nutrition available for plants. And it does change the structure of the soil so that it's hard for seedlings to get rooted.
How should we think about keeping deer away, rabbits from destroying our plants?
Yeah, now that's always a conundrum.
you can't solve that in like 20 seconds?
Yeah, I sure wish I could.
Come on.
Yeah, well, of course, with rabbits, fencing is always recommended. You want it to be at least 24 inches high. You can use things like chicken wire is pretty effective. Now, for deer, if you're going to use fencing, gosh, it needs to be over 8 feet high for it to be effective. But there are different things you can also do. You can hang reflective ribbon, reflective CDs, soap works. You can hang bars of soap, too.
Wow. Lisa Johnson, Dane County Extension horticulture educator at our side. And you can join in. What are you growing right now? What do you like about gardening? What can you tell us about your plants? Join in at 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Lisa Johnson here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Not a new concept for us to turn to the home garden in times of hardship. The U.S. has a long history of creating home gardens when there is economic instability. As part of the World War II effort, by 1943, the 20 million Victory Gardens across the country were producing 8 million tons of food. There's been a sharp rise in seed sales and gardening in the pandemic. We're getting tips on planting a spring garden. There's still time for your questions, 800-642-1234. Lisa Johnson is the Dane County Extension horticulture educator, and she stays with us. Let's take another call now. Dwayne is joining us from Weston. Hi, Dwayne.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing well.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, you know, I had these, first thing I noticed in the yard this year was where the voles, I think, hit, where it looks like your grass is just, it's like what grubs would do in the summer, but this was done under the snow, totally void area of 4 foot diameter, just gone. So that's easy. But what they didn't get was my, like, autumn nine barks and red prince wigelia. They girdled the bark off on all the stems coming out of the ground up like 2 feet and it's all under the snow. And I wonder if they'll maybe going to make it or to keep it from happening. If I replace these plantings, how do you keep those? I think they're voles with a V, Victor, you know? Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, we do get vole damage on a number of different woody plants. It's not uncommon. Sometimes they also will attack ornamental grasses and just eat the stems and the roots off of those. When a plant is girdled all the way around a stem, unfortunately, the vascular system that supplies the plant with water from the soil that, you know, is taken up by the roots, that system gets damaged. And if it's girdled all the way around, the plant then has no way to bring up water from the soil. So unfortunately, you're going to probably not have very good luck there.
Duane, has this been a reoccurring problem for you?
Second year, I think.
Second year.
I don't know. Yeah. Second year in a row now, and I want to know how to get rid of them, poison or traps or whatever, or wire mesh. I can fix the grass seeding, which I already did. I put down seed and straw, but, you know, it's the plantings that suck, because if you replace them, the work of doing that and then the cost, and then they're going to hit them again next year. And it's in a rock, like a rock flower bed around my house, you know.
Yeah, I would use quarter-inch hardware cloth. And you want to make sure that it's dug into the ground a little bit. I like to use landscape staples to hold it down. You can also try, when you're going into fall, spraying the lower part of those plants with a repellent like Ropel is one product. There are a bunch of different products, though. Liquid Fence is another. It doesn't. You need to do it like pretty late in the year because it doesn't hang around for very long. But between those two protections, that might help. Now, all this being said, nine barks are very vigorous, so I wouldn't be surprised if you do get some stems coming up from the ground. So I would, you know, cut it back, remove any of the really damaged parts, but you may still get it rejuvenating from the ground for those particular plants.
Well, Duane, good luck with that challenge there. You know, Lisa, while we're still on this topic of repelling critters, you mentioned soap earlier. Is it any particular type of scent or type of?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't have enough time to go into it very much, but you want a soap that is really strongly scented, so like Zest or Irish Spring. And what people typically will do is they drill a hole through it, run a wire through it, and then hang it from a tree branch. It's not so much a rabbit repellent as it is a deer repellent. Some people also will use hair from it had human hair, although dog or cat hair may work as well, in like an old nylon or something, and putting that around areas where you're planting as well can help. For rabbits, during the growing season, blood meal can work. But you do have to reapply that fairly often, because it will, when it gets rained on, it kind of disappears. But there are a number of different repellent products that you can use besides fencing.
Julie called in from Madison, couldn't stay with us. And Julie says last fall a friend gave her garlic bulbs and she planted them. She says she's now seeing 6-inch green shoots coming out of the ground. Never grown garlic before. She wants to know, how does garlic grow? What should she be doing?
Sure. Well, garlic is planted in late fall. And yes, you do often see it coming up at this time of year. Garlic is one of those plants that you don't harvest until a little bit later in the season, depending on what, whether it's hardneck garlic or softneck garlic. There are different procedures as far as when you harvest it. We do at the Learning Store, which is our repository for Extension publications. We do have a publication on growing not only garlic but other allium family bulbs. So she can find some of the particulars there.
Yeah, Julie, thank you so much. Talking with Lisa Johnson, who facilitates the Master Gardener program in Dane County. She's the Dane County Extension Horticulture Educator. Still time for your questions, 800-642-1234. Lisa, let's touch base here on compost. You know, for those who want to start composting or maybe use it in their gardens this year, what should they be thinking about?
Sure. Well, you need some kind of enclosure for your compost, whether you make a compost bin series out of wood or whether you buy a compost bin or you have one of the tumbling ones or you're using even something like chicken wire. What you want to do is when you add your green materials, that would be your kitchen waste, you don't want to use any fats or meats or bones, but any vegetable matter is fine to use. You can also use grass clippings as long as your grass hasn't been treated. And then you should layer that with what we call browns, which are dead leaves, dead stems, shredded paper, shredded cardboard. And that not only helps to keep down the odors from the greens as they are decaying, but it also supports fungal growth, and that will help to make sure that your compost continues to break down. And you should turn your compost regularly and make sure that it gets sufficient water. You don't want it to be really wet, but if it's dry, it doesn't compost very fast. Now, you can also be a lazy composter like me, and I don't turn mine very often. It will still decay. It's just that it takes quite a bit longer. You can get, if you're making sure that you turn your compost and getting it up to 130 degrees, you can usually get good compost in about 3 months. My way, it takes 6 months to a year.
So, and then spreading it around your garden, any tips there?
You want to make sure when you are harvesting your compost that you're taking the stuff from the bottom that is the most decayed. You can spread it in various depths depending on what you're growing. If you've already got your garden set, for example, then you would just spread it over the top. But if you have a vegetable garden that you're tilling, you should till the compost in.
Lisa, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Lisa Johnson is the Dane County Extension Horticulture Educator, where she oversees the Master Gardener program. Stay with us for the State Capitol Report as we look at the status of unemployment claims and talk with the Workforce Development Secretary. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.